You've heard it in every household. Turn that screen off, you'll get square eyes. You can't live glued to a screen. It's just ridiculous. Well, you hear parents all around the world saying that. Get out, get fresh air. Don't stay glued to the screen. Well, new research shows that what you and I might have thought is glued to the screen, that is, 6 hours a day, is not particularly harmful. Joining us now is Professor Christopher J. Ferguson, clinical psychologist and associate professor and department chair of psychology at Stetson University, Florida. He's the author of a study, Moderate Use of Screens Unassociated with Child Behaviour Problems, published in the Psychiatric Quarterly in February this year. Chris, welcome to Counterpoint.
Well, it's great to be on.
Well, you do hear all those things, don't you? Get out, stop being glued to the telly, stop being glued to your tablet or whatever. Tell us about this study. What started you thinking, if you did think this, gee, there might be a higher on-screen time that's acceptable?
I think, you know, parents have, you know, certainly in the US, and I'm guessing probably in Australia and elsewhere, kind of gotten used to this message that it's really originated with the American Academy of Pediatrics. And this was this message that, you know, kids and teens should really be limited to about 2 hours a day as kind of the maximum amount of time they should spend screens of all sorts. And that number, you know, which has been around for over a decade at least, it was always kind of controversial because it was kind of plucked out of the air. There really wasn't any data behind why 2 hours was necessarily magical, particularly, you know, as it really got harder and harder for families to kind of hit that number. There were concerns that perhaps it was really kind of an unrealistic recommendation for the majority of families out there. You know, and it was no secret that, you know, the typical kid today probably watches somewhere around 5 to 6 hours of screens, maybe more in some cases, as a fairly routine kind of thing.
Can I just interrupt you? Are you including the screen time at school or at university?
Yeah, well, possibly. Yeah. Well, that is the thing about, you know, the way that we, you know, some people very regularly hear this idea, you know, that kids are, you know, watching like, you know, 6 hours of screens a day. You know, and it is important to point out that, you know, when most of these numbers are kind of thrown around, they do include everything. You know, so it really does include screens at school, using screens at home for homework, using cell phones to, you know, be social with friends and things like that. So it's not just watching TV or playing video games. It really is all screens kind of combined. You know, it's kind of an alarming figure. People go, oh my God, you know, kids are watching 6 or 7 hours of screens. Yes, technically true, but so do adults. And part of that is because screens have become increasingly integrated into our lives. And we may sometimes lament that and wish that wasn't the case. But, you know, it'd almost be kind of hard to function if you really were to limit. I probably would lose my job if I could only use screens for 2 hours a day. I couldn't function.
I couldn't survive. Can you just give us an idea of the range and age group of the people included in this survey? How old were they, for example?
Yeah, so this is basically based on data the state of Florida collects on a random sample of teenagers in Florida, and the age range is between 12 to 18. So it's basically middle, what we consider in the U.S. to be middle schoolers and high schoolers.
Is it fair to say that some people have made the mistake of thinking that correlation is causation? So they find kids who are looking at screens for a large amount of their time, see a correlation between that high screen use and other problems, and assume there's a link between the two or a causal link. Whereas in fact, looking at the screen might be, for a longer time, might be a symptom of something else, not necessarily a causing factor. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, there definitely was an issue with, you know, people kind of assuming causation from correlation. And I think, too, people not always understanding really even the size of some of the correlations that we were looking at. And people were kind of assuming, well, two things are correlated, that means they're pretty strongly related. And that isn't always the case. So you can really see some tiny, tiny correlations sometimes between two variables, so small they probably don't mean anything in the real world. They're not things that are big enough that we'd really want to spend a lot of time on. And that isn't always translated very effectively when people speak about correlations, you know, particularly from social science in the news media. So all people hear is that there's a correlation between screen time and grades, and they don't realize that correlation is so small that it would have very little practical value in the real world. And if you really were to, you know, remove all screens from kids' lives, that would have, you know, actually very minimal, you know, even if it were causal, would have very minimal impact actually on, you know, their grade performance or depression or other variables that you happen to be looking at.
Yeah, I think you've cited an example of a 0.5% variance from moderate use for delinquency and a 1% increase for depression. They are small figures. It's not to say that there isn't any link, but that it is, if there is one, it's quite small and perhaps not get carried away with it. Right. Do you think parents have just shifted into what they used to say in the past, which is, oh, you can't read books all the time? So now it's you can't look at screens all the time.
Well, I think so. I mean, what you tend to find is like you said, there tends to be kind of a shift over time in terms of what mainstream adults kind of think or older adults think of as being acceptable. And you can kind of see this even with sort of like content issues that, you know, in the 1950s, people were all upset about Elvis Presley and then, you know, people, rock music in the 1980s. And then, of course, you know, more like violent video games now, that there is this kind of, you know, constant shift about what is an allowable thing for kids to do. And I think a lot of the debate about, you know, the issue of screen time focuses in on the idea that kids are kind of wasting their time doing something. You know, that why is my kid spending 6 hours a day on the weekends playing video games? They should be getting out there and looking at trees. I don't know when in history kids ever spent time looking at trees, but that's kind of the idea that older adults kind of get is, you know, kids ought to be doing things that I value, not things that they value. And I think sometimes older adults will mistake that idea of my kid is wasting his or her time on screens with that being something harmful. And, you know, kids value different activities from what adults value. That doesn't necessarily mean that the kid is having difficulties with their behavior or their grades or their mental health or things like that. So I think, you know, it would probably help for parents to be a little bit more distinguishing between their kids doing something that they themselves think is dull versus their kids really having a problem with grades or health or other sorts of issues that really are important.
I'm talking with Christopher Ferguson, professor at Stetson University in Florida, and we're talking about kids' screen time, in particular teenage kids' screen time. Now, I understand the American Academy of Pediatrics says it should be no more than 2 hours a day. Well, I think they'll probably need to go to some high schools and get them to limit their screen time if, you know, they can't have more than 2 hours a day. But obviously there's a bit of dissonance here. You have a difference of opinion. You mentioned that in the article. Have they responded, or is there some dialogue going on between the people like you who say, hold on, you're getting carried away here, and the people like them who say, well, no more than 2 hours? Is there a dialogue to resolve this? Because while you're a specialist and they're a specialist, in between are the parents who only want to do the right, they only want to do the right things by their kids. So, you know, they want to know, well, what's right here? Is there some dialogue to bring you together?
Well, the good news is actually the American Academy of Pediatrics did actually change their policy, their recommendations, and that was just happened last fall. And of course, I can't take credit for that. I think it's probably just coincidence.
Oh, you can grab a bit of credit. Why not?
Yeah, why not? It's all because of me. No. They've got rid of the 2 hour maximum, and I think that was because, you know, there were a lot of criticisms of that recommendation, both from scholars, you know, including myself. But certainly other scholars as well, and also parents. A lot of parents were like, "This, we just can't. You know, this is just not happening. You know, this, we can't meet this recommendation. It's unrealistic, and it's just making us feel bad rather than doing us any good." So I think that there was really the sort of confluence of critiques about this 2 hour recommendation that the AAP had been sort of selling. And again, there was this observation. You know, most of the scholars in the field were kind of saying like the 2 hour number is just kind of random. And there wasn't this kind of data to support it. So to their credit, they never admitted any mistake, but they did change their policy to get rid of that 2 hour maximum recommendation. Now they don't have a number at all. Okay. There is no number maximum at this point. But they basically say, which is really kind of commonsensical, is you know, just for parents, just to make sure that your kids are getting, you know, 8 to 9 hours of sleep a night, you know, a little bit more if they're teenagers, and have a little bit of time each day to exercise and have enough time to do their homework, you know, and the schoolwork. And as long as these other activities are being balanced with their screens, there's no magic number. They still have some screen time recommendations for younger kids, which remain pretty controversial. I'm guessing those might be revisited perhaps in the future. But for older kids, they definitely have, I don't want to say caved necessarily, but they did reassess the validity of those recommendations and get rid of
excellent.
Them.
Oh, excellent, excellent. I think you can take a gold star in that event. Now, can we just come back at this and look at it another way? Apparently, you had to get rid of some variables that could have affected things, excluding mm-hmm. factors like, you know, not enough sleep, physical activity, family involvement, depression sort of thing, to try and get an evenness, if you like, from a layperson's sense in your research. So let's assume that's all done. And you're saying to parents, look, 6 hours is a baseline, that's okay, you know, you're safe. But if a kid is, can I put it to you the other way around, if a child is not normally looking at that many hours and suddenly wants to go up to six, that could be a sign, couldn't it, of problems at school, depression, withdrawal, etc. So you're not saying if your kid is watching 6 hours a day, don't worry about anything. You're simply saying if your kid is watching 6 hours a day, that's not going to cause behavioural problems. It might, it might in itself be a symptom of other behavioural issues, but it is not the cause. That's the point. So you're not telling parents not to keep alert to problems their kids may have and use screen time as an indicator. You're just saying screen time of itself is not the fault creator.
Absolutely, yeah. I definitely can think of it, as you're saying, like particularly there's a big change in behavior where, you know, kids are starting to abandon other sorts of activities, particularly like academics, and are suddenly spending a lot of time with media. That can certainly be an indication that there are some mental health issues that are going on. And in fact, actually, in one other study that I published maybe 2 years ago, we found that with books, actually, you know, sometimes there are these kind of edgy books that some teens like to read, kind of like the teen-oriented books. But you know, some of them have quite edgy content, you know, violent content, sexual content, substance abuse, things like that. They're kind of, you know, marketed towards teens and dealing with issues that teens are dealing with, but are quite, you know, edgy with some of the content they have. And we found that, particularly for girls, and it really was girls that we saw this with, there was this like group of girls that, you know, for most teens, reading edgy books, these kind of, you know, more violent books like The Hunger Games or things like that, really wasn't a big deal. But there was this like core group of girls who just read tons and tons and tons of books and also tended to be high in things like depression. And again, it doesn't mean that the books caused them to be depressed, but it's kind of like what you're suggesting, that there seems to be, you know, a core group of, you know, a very, very tiny group of particularly female teenagers in this case that are experiencing mental health problems and probably are turning to books, you know, as a way of coping with some of those problems. So we wouldn't say that these books are causing them to become depressed, but perhaps if a particular teenager is just consuming tons and tons of media and that media may be particularly a little bit dysphoric, you know, for instance, that may be something that parents want to at least pay attention to, you know, and say, hey, what's going on? Are you doing okay? You weren't doing this 2 months ago, but now you are. Something changed. We're just checking in, not judging you, but just want to make sure that everything's all right.
Yeah. Look, can I have one, might be nitpicking, really. Your study was entitled Everything in Moderation, Moderate Use of Screens Unassociated with Child Behaviour Problems. That's great, except 6 hours a day is about a third of a child's waking time. And I'm not sure that's moderation, but in any event, look, I get the point. It's been a great pleasure talking to you. I've been talking with Professor Christopher Ferguson, clinical psychologist and lead author of the study Everything in Moderation, Moderate Use of Screens Unassociated with Child Behaviour Problems, which was published this month in the journal Psychiatric Quarterly.